I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game.
I'm perturbed.
Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Hammond, Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football.
Just give me my chance, like with a big leather helmet on, like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
Happy New Year, Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. I'm your boy, Chris Espo. With me, as always, Will Sweeney.
Hey, everybody, how are you?
And Super Producer Josie.
That's me.
If you hear some clackering or some popping of peas, we're both sucking on cough drops this morning because Will is a gamer. He's under the weather. And I want to give a special thank you to Uncle Eddie. Hopefully, he's listening right now. Eddie was going to be the replace. He was going to be the backup QB today if Will couldn't run. And Will said, it's all right, tape me up, I'm in. So, Eddie, thank you. Phil also, even though he had previous obligations, he was also on the list. So, thank you, guys. We're going to go through Week 17, and then we're going to have the crazy day yesterday. That was, honestly, the best two playoff games I've seen in a very long time.
Absolutely. This is the first time in NFL history that both games were decided by less than 2 points.
Second highest deficit in playoff history yesterday. Was covered and beaten, and the first one was the Houston Oilers and the Buffalo Bills.
Which, ironically, we actually covered. We were on a different network, so you More Like Radio people might not have heard of it, but we actually covered that one. And, let's
in start. Depth, too.
Yeah, we did a good half
we had
hour.
Del
on
Reed
one.
From the Bills Mafia are on.
Absolutely.
Donald Jones was supposed to be in today. He had a previous engagement, so Donald Jones can't run today. We're hoping to get him in either next week or the week after. It is what it is. You can't do anything about it, especially when you're dealing with someone who is on multiple shows and multiple stations and stuff like that. So, week 17, my pigskin prophecy came true. I said Pittsburgh was going to win, San Diego was going to win. Baltimore and Miami were going to lose to put San Diego into the playoffs. It took a lot, but the crystal ball was smoking, and Espo was right.
You certainly were. But before we get into all that, let's start covering the Week 17 games.
Yes, sir.
Heading on over to Miami. New York Jets visited the Miami Dolphins and basically had their way with them, winning 20-7. Geno Smith, 17 of 27, 190 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Ryan Tannehill, 20 of 40, 204 yards, one touchdown, and three picks. Once again, when you start throwing interceptions like that, it very rarely, and I have to say that because of something we're going to cover a little bit later on, very rarely do you come out with a win.
D. Milliner had a couple picks in this game. D. Milliner named Defensive Rookie of the Week for the New York Jets. And because of this game, Rex Ryan gets one more year reprieve. They don't know if it's going to be... long-term, they already said they're not signing him long-term. So he's going to have to play another year with a contract dangling in front of his face. If he was fatter, I'd say the Twinkie in front of his face. But he's lost a ton of weight.
He does. He has. And you know what? I saw the opponents for the Jets next year.
Oh, God.
You know, and I was debating this with another Jets fan, and it's going to be 5-5. We'll get into that a little bit later. 8-8, excuse me. We'll get into the opponents later on, but they have a very tough schedule next year. Bilal Powell. 21 rushes, 76 yards. Geno Smith ran the ball 10 times for 44 yards and a touchdown. Sheldon Richardson ran twice for 2 yards and a touchdown. Look at that, playing both sides of the ball.
Fridge Perry style.
For the Dolphins, Lamar Miller, 17 rushes, 73 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. Heading on to the receiving stats. David Nelson for the Jets. 5 grabs, 66 yards. Jeremy Curley, 5 grabs for 40 yards. Santonio Holmes, 3 for 41. Kellen Winslow, 1 for 34. Jeff Cumberland, 1 for 30. Nobody else above that.
And talk about saving the best for last. This is the best front-to-back. Better than the Falcon game. Better than the Saints game. This is the best game as a team the Jets played all season.
Yeah. Absolutely. For the Dolphins, Mike Wallace, 5 grabs, 25 yards, and a touchdown. Rishard Matthews, 4 grabs for 58 yards. Charles Clay, 4 for 43. Brian Hartline, 2 for 38. Nobody else above that. Chris, you happen to pull up the opponents for the Jets next year.
Yeah, besides the Buffalo, Miami, New England, you got to play home and home. On the road, they have Kansas City, San Diego, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Tennessee. Of those 5 games on the road, I'm looking at 3 losses.
Yes.
Okay.
And depending on what Minnesota can do, because if Minnesota bulks up that defense,
yeah,
and maybe gets another offensive weapon.
And it also comes down to if Jared Allen stays. They don't know if he's going to stay.
Right. He probably comes back for another season.
At home, besides Buffalo, Miami, New England, they have Denver.
Yeah.
Ouch. Okay. Oakland. Okay. They seem to play Oakland every year now. It's like this.
Yeah, it's like the Giants and the Seahawks.
Yeah, every year. Chicago, ouch, now that Jay Cutler has signed the 7-year extension with them. There goes my plan for Houston.
Green Bay had a party.
Detroit and Pittsburgh. I got 2 wins at home, maybe a third, depending upon what Pittsburgh does in the offseason.
You know, a lot of it's going to depend on Buffalo and Miami also. Miami can't sleep on them. You got to see what they got to do. They got to make some improvements this year. Buffalo played well. They're going to be looking to make some improvements this year. Again, the Jets are going to be looking to make improvements. And the Jets, what the Jets really need, the Jets' defense is pretty good. What they definitely need, though, is they definitely need another receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Because Santonio Holmes just isn't cutting it by himself. Heading on over to New York, New Jersey, whatever you want to call it. The Giants played host to the Redskins, and the Giants win this one pretty easily, 20-6. Eli Manning goes out in this game with an injury, high ankle sprain. Really didn't make much of a difference.
Were they bringing Curtis Painter?
They brought in Painter. I was surprised. I thought they were going to bring in Nassib.
Painter's got the cushiest job on the planet. He has been the backup for each Manning.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
His whole career, I think.
Curtis Painter, number 17, I back up the Mannings. That should be his business card. He just hands out to people.
Although he did play one season and...
Terrible. He was 2-14.
Well, it wasn't all him, but yeah.
Enough.
Kirk Cousins in this game, 19 of 49, 169 yards, no touchdowns and 2 picks. Eli Manning, 10 of 24, 152 yards, 1 touchdown and an interception. Curtis Painter, 2 of 8 for 11 yards, 1 interception.
Yay.
The rushing stats: Alfred Morris, 16 rushes, 62 yards. Roy Helu.
There you go.
3 rushes for 24 yards. For the Giants, Jarrell Jernigan, 2 rushes, 57 yards, and a touchdown.
It was a great end around.
It certainly was. Absolutely fantastic. You don't see the Giants do that very often. And apparently when you're going to do it, you want Jernigan to do it.
This was the toughest week to bet.
It always is.
It's always there's too much trickery. This team's going for it on fourth down when they shouldn't. A whole bunch of nonsense. Excuse me. I went 14-2.
Wow.
On Sunday.
Wow.
Straight pick 'em.
Okay.
I didn't win any pool. Someone went 16-0.
Get out.
Jesus.
And when we asked the woman at work how she did it, I've never watched a game of football in my life. I just circled. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, I coached her.
She went to the Joe C. School of Football.
It was actually Joe C's niece that he hasn't seen in about 13 years. She called him up and said, "Hey, I heard you do this show."
It's the Joe C Big Padookie Power Hour. That's what it was. That's exactly how she picked.
I'm telling you.
Peyton Hillis ran the ball 17 times for 56 yards. I'm going on over to the receiving stats. Pierre Garçon had a good season, man. 6 grabs, 56 yards.
Broke the record, single season record held by Art Monk for receptions by the Redskins. That's a huge.
Was it receptions or receiving yards?
I thought it was reception. It may have been receiving yards, but regardless,
even still, it's Art Monk.
It's
man.
Art Monk. That's yeah. When you think of wide receivers for the Redskins, he's number one. Like
pretty
there's
much.
There's nobody else.
No,
it's Art Monk, and then there's like he's one, and then there's 7, 8, and 9. He's 1 to 6.
Yeah.
Oh, now he has to step aside. Pierre Garçon, again, product of the times we live in.
And just for the record, we're not saying Pierre Garçon is better than Art Monk.
No, no.
Pierre Garçon still has to prove that, especially with the Redskins. But Pierre Garçon could actually, he can be up there with Art Monk. Art Monk was not a huge name for a long time. He really got bigger as he got older.
Pierre Garçon needs to stay healthy. Imagine if he stood healthy. We saw it.
Right.
If he stays healthy for an extended period of time, he will be mentioned in the top 10 now of wide receivers because he's a possession receiver with home run hitting ability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's got some, well, if RG3 can stay healthy and continue, he's got a good quarterback throwing on the ball. And he likes to throw it to him, obviously. So
and a new coach.
Not? Yeah, we'll get into the coaching carousel a little bit later also.
Yay. Really quick, since we did the Jets, and most of our fans are Jets and Giants fans, the Giants' schedule was released as far as the teams, not who they're playing and when. On the road, they got St. Louis, Seattle, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Detroit. Jacksonville and Tennessee is a nice little draw for them, but going into the 12th man, as well as a stout and up-and-coming St. Louis team, that's going to be a little tough. And they always play well in Detroit. And they have Arizona, San Francisco, Houston, Indy, and Atlanta at home. That's rough.
Yeah, if Houston and Atlanta could step up, it's going to be a lot rougher.
Right.
It's going to be a lot rougher. But again, this is just what we're looking at for next season.
Of course.
We'll wait and see. Not only was Jarrell Jernigan the leading rusher on the team, he was also the leading receiver. 6 grabs, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Hakeem Nicks, 2 grabs, 50 yards, and a touchdown. Not a single touchdown all season for him.
Except for then.
No touchdowns, I'm sorry.
Okay. and Jarrell Jernigan further solidified why Hakeem Nicks will not be in red, white, and blue next year.
Right. And for the record, I went back and listened to an old show that we had debated on another network when Victor Cruz signed his contract. You and I had a little debate. Hakeem Nicks proves that giving Victor Cruz that money was a decent idea.
Yes, 100%.
However, we did sit there and try to predict his stats. I said 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns and 75 grabs. You said about 70 grabs, 1,000 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Price is Right rules. You were closest without going over. 998 yards, 4 touchdowns for Victor Cruz this year.
How many receptions do you remember?
I don't remember how many receptions off the top of my head.
Listen, I've always said, prove me wrong. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. That's fine. I remember that debate we had very vividly. I even said, I thought Hakeem Nicks made Victor Cruz better. Victor Cruz made Hakeem Nicks better.
Yes.
And it goes to show this year. And I also think it's a product of he stood healthy, finally, for the most part.
For the most part.
He just, the offense wasn't clicking this year. They had no run game to complement Eli's passing game.
No, they had about 6 or 7 different rushers starting for them in the first 2 months of the season.
And Kevin Gilbride retires and walks off into the sunset as the offensive coordinator of the Giants. He retired.
I think he was going to be fired if he didn't retire. So,
good way to cover his own rear end.
Yeah, pretty much. And now Perry Fuel is a top candidate for the Washington Redskins job.
I don't like that. Anyway.
I don't like it either. But
moving right along.
Yeah, that was pretty much all that was worth mentioning as far as receiving stats were going. Heading on over to Indianapolis. Indianapolis played host to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Indy wins this one easily, 30-10. Chad Henne, 30 of 51, 331 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Andrew Luck, 26-37, 282 yards and a touchdown. And hey, look at that. Matt Hasselbeck still plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
3 of 4, 25 yards. Rushing stats, MJD, 13 rushes, 39 yards. Indianapolis Colts, Donald Brown, 12 rushes, 31 yards. Trent Richardson, 8 of 25. Each of them had a touchdown. And now let's go on to the receiving stats. Kerry Taylor of the Jaguars, 8 of 75 and a touchdown. Ace Sanders, 6 grabs, 50 yards.
Attorney at law.
Maurice Jones-Drew, 5 grabs, 51 yards. Mercedes Lewis, 3 grabs for 70. Mike Brown, 3 for 43. Nobody else above that. Indianapolis Colts, T.Y. Hilton, 11 grabs, 155 yards, and a touchdown, and had another big game last night. But again, get into that later. Griff Whalen, that's a fun name, too. I like that.
Told you, it sounds like Muddy Waters' backup bass player.
Yeah,
he'll be loosening it.
Muddy Waters and Griff Whalen.
Nice.
I saw him at the old speakeasy.
4 grabs, 32 yards, and a touchdown. Nobody else above that. Heading on over to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins this one. Another one, easily. 20-7 over the Steelers over the Browns. Jason Campbell, 23-41, 241 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Ben Roethlisberger, 19-31, 179 yards, one touchdown and two picks. Rushing stats for the Browns, Edwin Baker, 18-69, and that's really it. For the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, 20 rushes, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Receiving stats for the Browns, Josh Gordon, 7 grabs, 82 yards. Jordan Cameron, 5 grabs, 69 yards. Josh Cooper, 5 grabs for 34 yards. And again, you've got to mention Fozzie Whitaker just because it's fun to say.
Ah.
Fozzie Whitaker, 2 grabs, 38 yards, and a touchdown. Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown, 9 grabs, 87 yards. Jericho Cotchery, 3 grabs, 25 yards, and a touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders, 2 grabs, 26 yards. Head on over to Tennessee, where Tennessee played host to the Houston Texans.
In a game that nobody cared about.
Yeah, but it was actually almost close.
Yeah.
16-10. 16-10, Tennessee wins this one.
If you watch Red Zone, and why wouldn't you?
I don't have it.
Oh, sorry.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, I won't. Too harshly. So, if you watch Red Zone, they usually give you that, you know, every touchdown from every game. The only time this game was on was for field goals and touchdowns. They didn't even sniff this game during the whole craziness that was the playoff push.
Right.
This game meant nothing. Thank God the Jets were in a game that meant something towards the playoffs, even though it wasn't for them. I got to see them as much as humanly possible. But, yeah, this game, I don't like Matt Schaub. I don't think Case Keenum is the – as much as I've said before, I think Case Keenum is the answer. I don't know if he is. Houston has cemented themselves as the number one seed for the
number one pick for the draft.
Thank you.
They're actually thinking about shopping that number one pick.
Here's the thing. If they're looking to shop that number one pick, they're not taking Jadeveon. They're looking at Jadeveon Clowney. If they aren't going to shop that pick, they're going to take Teddy Bridgewater. And I said,
happened to your Manziel pick?
I want Manziel for that team. Money, money, money. I want money Manziel for that team. It's not going to happen, though. The new regime that's going to come into Houston, they don't take bullshit from anybody. Pardon my language. And I think Manziel has too much baggage already.
Agreed.
And it's gonna hurt his top 10 stock.
All right.
Depending on what team he goes. So if you want to put some asses in the seats, yeah. I mean, and we have a little bit of time today that, you know, there's not much to go over. It's good debate to happen the whole day because now we can reflect on the season.
Sure.
Excuse me, especially on the teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, if you want to go back with Manziel, you want to go back to the preseason where he basically slept in during the Manning passing camp.
Yeah, and when you're invited to the Manning passing camp, you have something there.
Right.
The names that have gone to the Manning passing camp read of future and current Hall of Famers. Okay? So, I have a funny feeling that if they keep that number one pick, they're going Teddy Bridgewater. They're going best available. I just don't think Teddy Bridgewater is a franchise quarterback. And I've said this before, and again, I said this to a coworker of mine who is African-American, and it is no disrespect when I say it. In the history of the game, black quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls. There's been one. Again, granted, they haven't had the chance to.
Right.
I mean, it took until the year that the Colts played the Bears to have a black coach win a Super Bowl.
And you had two black coaches in Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith.
Exactly. Are we going to have a day when it's going to be two African-American quarterbacks? Absolutely. But
I don't think that day is far off.
No, absolutely not. Especially with the more athletic quarterback, obviously, the more gifted quarterback, is a black quarterback. I'm not even saying it to be, again, and this is not a race conversation. This is just fact. Look at the guys like Mike Vick. Outside of his personal problems, he uses his legs, and he's effective.
Right.
And he has an arm. Thank God. RG3. I think, personally, is more gifted than Andrew Luck because he can run and he can throw. If he was smarter and stopped getting hit so much, I think he would be a little bit better off. And now he's going to have a better coach.
Right. Well, that remains to be seen. But heading on over to the stats for the Titans-Texans game, Matt Schaub, 22 of 34, 229 yards and two picks. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 15 of 24, 166 yards and a pick. It's a big passing day for them, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Great yeah. game.
Surprised they didn't run the flex bone.
For the Texans, rushing, Jonathan Grimes, 16 rushes, 50 yards, and a touchdown. For the Titans, CJ2K, 27 rushes, 127 yards, and a touchdown.
And still no pay cut, you jerk.
Yeah, selfish. Receiving stats for the Texans, Jonathan Grimes, 6 grabs, 76 yards. Andre Johnson, 6 grabs, 49 yards. Ryan Griffin, 3 grabs, 49 yards. And DeAndre Hopkins, 4 grabs for 35. Titans, Kendall Wright, 5 grabs, 50 yards. Delanie Walker, 3 grabs for 29 yards. Nate Washington, 2 grabs for 39. Damian Williams, 1 grab for 32. Nobody else above that. Head on over to Cincinnati. Cincinnati played host to the Baltimore Ravens. This one had playoff implications.
So in this one, just to give everybody a little bit of a backstory if they didn't catch from what happened last week, Miami needed to win. If they won and Baltimore lost, Miami was in. Miami, lo and behold, loses to the Jets. So now all Baltimore has to do is win. Win and they're in. And go ahead, give the score.
Bengals win this one 34-17. Joe Flacco, 30 of 50 for 192 yards, one touchdown, three picks. Again, Andy Dalton, though, 21 of 36, 281 yards, two touchdowns, four picks.
Yeah, Joe Flacco did not. Joe Flacco this year further solidified why he wasn't worth as much money as they gave him. If they could have split that between him and Anquan Boldin, they'd be fine. And John Harbaugh went on record to say it wasn't so much trying to restock the defense that hurt the most this year. The hardest part of restocking this team was restocking Anquan Boldin.
Right.
Lo and behold, Anquan Boldin is still in the playoffs with the San Francisco 49ers, and everybody on Baltimore is playing golf right now.
Exactly.
So I'm okay with them not making it. I already said it wasn't going to happen. I knew they were going to lose that game. Cincinnati drops points at home.
Yeah.
What's scaring me, and I have Cincinnati as my pick for the Super Bowl this year. They're my AFC team.
I don't know.
I know. Andy Dalton, Red Rifle, needs to calm down on the interceptions.
We got to see what he does today.
100%. They're home today. It's about 30 degrees. They're playing San Diego. Spoiler alert. And I want to see them run the ball more. You have two dynamic backs that can switch the game up for you. The head coach of the Bengals?
Marvin Lewis.
Thank you. I was going to say Marvin Jones. Don't know why. if I'm Marvin Lewis, I want to see no more than 30 attempts.
Okay.
That's it. 30 attempts, target AJ Green 10 times, and run all day long. Bruise that team. The only guys they have worth a damn on defense are Eric Weddle, who I can't stand. You know how much I love him. And Manti Te'o. Do they usually have 12 people on the field and one is imaginary? Yeah, it happens.
So, really? Sorry. We're still going there?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, speaking of rushing stats, let's talk about the rushing stats for the Ravens. Bernard Pierce, 5 rushes for 28 yards. Nobody else above that. For the Bengals, Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis, 11 rushes, 66 yards. Andy Dalton, 6 rushes for 23 yards and a touchdown. Giovanni Bernard, 13 rushes for 22 yards. Receiving stats for the Ravens, Dennis Pitta, 8 grabs, 63 yards. Ray Rice, 7 of 35. Marlon Brown, 5 grabs for 30 yards and a touchdown. Nobody else above that. For the Bengals, Marvin Jones, 5 grabs, 61 yards and a touchdown. Giovanni Bernard, 5 grabs, 51 yards. A.J. Green, 4 grabs, 61 yards and a touchdown. Andrew Hawkins, 3 grabs for 74 yards.
And apparently there was an interview over the weekend with Torrey Smith, and they asked him about his extension. He said, I'm not even thinking of an extension right now. Can you say jumping ship?
We'll see. We'll see. They got to do what they got to do to keep him because he's pretty much their only offensive weapon right now.
If I'm Baltimore, I am taking a good long look in the draft for Sammy Watkins from Clemson, wide receiver. Or if you really want to be a jerk about things, slit the throat of the Jets and get Marquise Lee from USC. They need another threat. They don't have one.
Yeah.
They need something to complement Torrey Smith.
100%. Torrey Smith's your home run hitter. You need a possession receiver. Heading on over to Atlanta. Atlanta played host to the Carolina Panthers. This one was a barn burner. Carolina wins this one 21-20. Let's see, the passing stats for the Panthers. Cam Newton, 15 of 27, 149 yards, two touchdowns and a pick.
Super Cam.
Yeah, yeah. For the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan, 28 of 40, 280 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. And I will say this, preseason, we were talking about Cam Newton getting that captaincy. He got it before the season. We didn't think it was going to happen before the season.
Right.
He got it. He earned it. And he's done a lot to maintain it this season. So good for him. He really improved. He really kind of impressed me this year.
Listen, the team started off 1-3. They finished out 12-4. Riverboat Ron. Love Ron. I'm a huge Ron Rivera guy.
Yeah, I know.
In my personal opinion, coach of the year. Again. For the huge turnaround.
Yeah.
Okay. They have a smoke and mirrors offense. Cam Newton does what he does. Jonathan Stewart was hurt all year. They have a wrecking ball in a helmet with Mike Tolbert.
Right.
And they have D'Angelo Williams. I think if they use D'Angelo Williams more, they'd be even more effective.
Okay.
But on the flip side, thank God they have a bye this week because Steve Smith is hurt. He's banged up.
Right.
He needs that week. Outside of Steve Smith, Brandon LaFell stepped up this year, and a lot of people are saying who? And rightfully so. And on top of that, they have one guy, and we watched a preseason game this year, me and you. We watched Pittsburgh against Carolina, and we both said at the same time, if Ted Ginn stays healthy, he's got...
Ted Ginn, man.
And all of a sudden, he found his hands.
Yeah.
So...
Ted Ginn, he's got a good set of hands. He's got good feet. He's not going to be a superstar.
It's usually what I look for in a woman.
Right.
Good hands, good feet.
Right, absolutely. And, Well, I'm not going to go there. when we compared him to Wayne Krabet. He is a Wayne Krabet type receiver.
Yeah,
he knows where the markers are. He knows where he has to be. He's going to be there, and he's going to do everything he can to get there. Not going to be your superstar, but he's going to be a vital cog on your offense.
And all it took was him to develop the hands and the footwork, like you've so eloquently put. It's about time for him.
I've watched him walk the tightrope on more than one occasion on that sideline and get 3 or 4 extra yards out of it.
I watched him in Ohio State, the Ohio State University, and he was their big threat. I didn't think he would translate as well as he has this year. If you think about previous seasons, you're returning kicks. That's it. You're returning kicks. You have no hands. You're returning kicks. Leave us alone.
Right.
Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, gambling man, turns around and says, no, we're going to make you a wide receiver this year, a legitimate wide receiver. And he was a legitimate, viable third option for Cam Newton besides the home run threat.
Right.
Fantastic. Kudos to him. Kudos to Carolina. You got yourself a bye for this week. And as it looks, they get the winner of today's game.
Yeah.
Because, well, we'll get to it.
Yep. All right, so let's go into the rushing stats. Once again, the one thing that bothers me about any mobile quarterback is when they're your leading rusher. Cam Newton, 12 rushes, 72 yards. D'Angelo Williams, 10 grabs, 33 yards. Mike Tolbert, 7 grabs, for 7 rushes for 29 yards. For the Falcons, Steven Jackson, 13 rushes for 41 yards. Jason Snelling, 5 rushes for 36. Receiving stats, Greg Olsen, 6 grabs, 42 yards, and a touchdown. Ted Ginn Jr., 2 grabs, 6 yards, 1 touchdown. D'Angelo Williams, 2 grabs, 75 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. For the Falcons, Roddy White, 8 grabs, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Harry Douglas, 7 grabs, 58 yards. Steven Jackson, 5 grabs, 53 yards. Tony Gonzalez, 4 grabs, 56 yards, and a retirement. Jason Snelling, 2 grabs, 15 yards, and a touchdown.
Yay. I as everybody knows how much I love Tony Gonzalez, as everybody is in quarantine down here right now. I hate Tony Gonzalez. However, we'll go down in history, and I will gladly say this with a smile on my face, as the single greatest tight end of all time until Jimmy Graham shatters all of his records. Thank you. Tony Gonzalez, class act. All the way. I am not taking anything away from him, his ability, or him as a person. I was just tired of him and the John Gruden love fest for each other. So, Tony Gonzalez, congratulations. You went out as a dud this year, but you had a great career.
You certainly did. With that being said, I think we all need to take a quick break, kind of get our voices back and stop choking on phlegm. So, we'll be right back after this. You'll listen to Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with Jay Fox.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Wait, why is that guy gargling?
This is your morning wake-up call.
Get up.
It's how I get my morning started. They're my morning show.
All right, here's a little inside info. They're not even real listeners. These are staged people, and you hear the same thing across the entire country. And that's why Hammy, the true American, is going to serve his country and expose these hack shows for what they are.
Only on Brain Stew Radio. Friday nights, 8 to 10 on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty. Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
You know Mary Magdalene was a whore.
Right.
Well, we had to do the whole, for Easter time, we did a play on, you know, the stages of the cross and all that shit. I was Mary Magdalene.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you must have had your hand up for a month waiting to play that part.
Does that just freaking make the most sense in the world for me now?
Tune into Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the MoreLikeRadio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind MoreLikeRadio.
Right.
And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Gentleman Show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh too.
Tattoos and Touchdowns. MoreLikeRadio.com. No rules, just radio. I'm going to take over a little bit now, so... Will can rest his pipes.
The golden pipes.
Exactly. We're intergalactic. Moving right along to the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. This game actually cost me money this weekend. We had the Minnesota Vikings squeaking out a victory 14-13 in Minnesota. We'll go down to the stats, passing stats. Matthew Stafford, another lackluster game. 22 of 33, 217 yards and a touch. Matt Castle, 20 of 33, 189 yards, a touch and a pick. What do you think about Matt Castle staying with Minnesota next year?
As a backup?
No, as a starter.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think he had a very serviceable season.
He played well. Now, again, Matt Castle also played well when he was the backup for New England. He did not play well as an everyday starter.
Agreed. Very fair. Good point.
Okay. So, do I think Matt Castle should be Minnesota's everyday starter for next season? Absolutely not. The Christian Ponder experiment we've discussed is failed. It's over.
Right.
Done. Ponder's a bust.
Right.
Ponder can maybe go somewhere else and be a backup. Maybe. There are a couple of teams out there looking for a quarterback. I don't know that they'd be interested in him.
So
Vikings need a quarterback.
What you're saying is Minnesota in the draft has to go quarterback.
They have to go quarterback.
Okay.
Have to go quarterback. And they also need another offensive weapon on top of bulking up that defense.
Right. 100%. We just spoke before about Jared Allen probably not being back next year. He doesn't know yet.
I think he comes back. I think he's going to come back for another season. I think he wants to go out, not on top, but he wants to go out better than he did.
Yeah, I think they need to. I think they have a chance to franchise tag him. If anybody doesn't know what a franchise tag is, if the guy doesn't want to sign or you can't sign him, what you do is you throw a franchise tag on him. It's good for one time throughout the person's tenure on the team. And they'll take, it's a one-year deal, and they take the average of the player salaries at that position, and they give him the higher end of the average. So
I think, isn't it the average of the top five, I think?
Top five, thank you. Right. They take the top five. So just say the top five are each making $15 million. Guess what? He gets 1 year, $15
million. Right.
All right. So anyway.
Again, I just want to throw out there, Matthew Stafford.
Didn't deserve the money?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He is the best inconsistent quarterback I've ever seen. Jim Schwartz lost his job, was fired earlier this week, and yet Matthew Stafford is all over the place. He has no consistency. When he's hot, he's smoking hot. But when he's cold, he's ice cold. There is no in between with him. And it cost his coach his job.
And if we've seen anything in this offseason already, it's that the front office will always take the side of the quarterback over the head coach.
Yes.
We saw that in Washington. We see that in Detroit. I think Detroit right now is the best win-now team for a new coach to step into.
Absolutely.
All they need is more defense, honestly speaking.
And they need Stafford to calm down.
Right. I would look at a coach that has quarterback experience. Look at how well Jim Harbaugh has done as a head coach. I like head coaches that used to be, in some capacity, a quarterback. Flipping it back over to Minnesota, I like David Fales from San Jose State, pure pocket passer, good arm. Hopefully Minnesota goes that route or goes the route of a pocket passer. I'm still old school with a lot of things. I like pocket passers.
I'm a pocket kind of guy myself. I appreciate a good quarterback run.
Right.
But unfortunately, the mobile quarterback is now run first, pass second. You're not a quarterback at that point. You're a running back.
If I wanted to see the option, I'd watch college more. Anyway. Rushing stats in this game. Reggie Bush, 14 attempts, 32 yards. Joyce Bell, 8 attempts, 31 yards. Flipping over to Minnesota, Mike Asiata, 14 attempts, 115 yards.
Who?
Exactly. In the two games he actually played this year, he rushed for over 300 yards in those two games combined, and he had three touchdowns. Bye-bye, Toby Gerhart. Okay, Adrian Peterson sat out this game, and rightfully so. He had another great season. Me and you can debate that.
Injured,
yes. Was it last year's 2097? No.
Not even close.
Cordaro Patterson, two attempts, 54 yards, another one of those trickery plays, and a touchdown. It was a 50-yard run. Receiving, Detroit, excuse me, Kevin Ogletree of week one 2012 Dallas Cowboy fame. Five receptions, 75 yards, no touchdowns. Nate Burleson, five catches, 64 yards. Reggie Bush, five catches for 33 yards and a touch. Nothing else worth mentioning for Detroit except for Calvin Johnson sat the game out. Flipping over to Minnesota, Greg Jennings, five catches, 44 yards. I'm going to scroll down here because nobody else really worth mentioning except for that man again, Cordarrelle Patterson, two catches, 31 yards and a touch.
Cordarrelle Patterson and Jarrell Jernigan doing it on both, doing it however they can on offense this past week.
Exactly, and I've said from day one when I was on another show, I had called in, and it was on an old radio station, and I said, Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be the best pick in that first round. Everybody laughed at me. Guess what? Cordarrelle Patterson for Minnesota has given them a legitimate number one wide receiver for next year.
Absolutely.
Get him two possession guys and a quarterback. That's if you're Minnesota next year, you're looking offense first. You have to. Especially in a division where everybody keeps getting better and you stay the same.
See, I debate that because I think they need a lot more work on defense. I think they can pick up people, free agents on offense, get a couple of decent receivers to throw in there. Because, again, you don't need a home run hitter. You have that.
Oh, yeah.
You need a good slot guy. And you know what? Hakeem Nicks is not going to be a Giant next year. Maybe Hakeem Nicks goes over there and has a little bit of success as a number two guy.
Right.
You know? He doesn't need to be the number one guy. He's not a home run hitter. He's a possession guy, even though we'd like to be a home run hitter.
Right.
So.
Home run hitter, body possession skills.
Yeah.
Moving over to New Orleans and Tampa, this game also had playoff implications. New Orleans wins and they're in. They lose, and they had to hope that Arizona would lose. Spoiler alert, New Orleans wins, so bye-bye Arizona. New Orleans wins this game 42-17. They were home. New Orleans doesn't lose at home. That just happens. That's it.
Yeah.
So, passing stats. Mike Glennon, 22-41, two touchdowns and a pick. He threw for 219 yards. Michael Conan, he threw one pass and nothing. Anyway, Drew Brees, 24 of 31, 381 yards, four touchdowns. He threw a 76-yard bomb in this game. Just ridiculous. He's the man. He's the man.
Quite possibly one of the best quarterbacks of this generation.
Best quarterback under 6'2", hands down, ever.
Okay. That's right. He's a short. He's only like 5'10".
He's 6 foot even.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Generously 6 foot even.
That he gets up on his tippy toes a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Rushing stats: Brian Leonard, 5 attempts, 35 yards. Bobby Rainey, 11 attempts, 35 yards. No touchdowns across the board there. Kyrie Robinson, 12 attempts, 50 yards for the Saints. Pierre Thomas, 7 attempts, 20 yards and a touch and an injury. He was out of the playoff game this week. Mark Ingram, 3 attempts for 20 yards. Mark Ingram finally starting to come around. I'd like to see them feature him more, but he also needs to stop putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Looking at Tampa's receiving stats, Tyquan Underwood, 5 catches, 93 yards and a touch. Tim Wright, 5 catches, 58 yards and a touch. Tim Wright had a quietly great season for a team that was
abysmal.
Full of MRSA. They were just
full of MRSA.
They were just diseased.
The Tampa Bay lepers.
Exactly. Marcus Colston, 6 catches, 67 yards, no touchdowns. Finally, Colston in the last half of the season came out. Jimmy Graham, 5 catches, 71 yards and a touch. Lance Moore, 4 catches, 73 yards and a touch. I was talking about that 76-yard bomb before by Drew Brees. That was to Kenny Stills, his only catch of the game, 76 yards and the touch. And Robert Meacham, 41 yards, 1 catch, 1 touchdown. Good for you. So with that game, New Orleans goes into the playoffs. And the game that was on everybody's mind on Sunday, I think this was better than the Sunday night game, which we'll get to.
This game was freaking fantastic.
Best game of the week. Best game, I think, all season, honestly, because of the history. The Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears are the
heated rivals.
The longest-running rivalry in professional football.
Yeah.
Okay? This goes back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, when the Chicago Bears were the Decatur Staleys. I mean, this goes way back like spinal cords. This is big.
This goes back further than the spinal cords.
Aaron Rodgers' first game back in 7 weeks, missed six games for them.
Against the team that knocked him out.
Exactly. Shea McClellan is the one on the first drive of the game on a Sunday night, fell on Aaron Rodgers' collarbone.
Clean hit.
Very clean hit. He finished his play. He did what he was supposed to do.
Right. It just ended poorly.
And it's the way, it's the society, God bless.
Bless you, Joe.
It's the society we live in now. That watches football, that doesn't go for the flashy tackle, that goes for the clean hit, and he winds up getting hurt, and then they want to ban the clean hits now all of a sudden. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you can't do anything about it. It's a physical game, you're going to get hurt. And it was a clean hit.
And let's be honest, breaking a collarbone, not easy to do.
No, not at all. And if anybody knows, it's my medic friend sitting across from me.
Hey, that's me.
So, Packers win this game 33-28 on a last-minute touchdown from Aaron Rodgers to Randall Cobb. We'll dissect that in a second. Aaron Rodgers, 25 of 39, 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 3 times in this game also. Jay Cutler, 15 of 24 for 226, 2 touchdowns and a pick. I said this from when he came back. It should have been McCown's team to finish out the season. I understand. I give Tressman credit for taking the initiative, and we spoke about this when, I can't remember what, with the Cowboys, with Romo and Orton. I give him credit for coming right out and saying, no, Jay Cutler's my starting quarterback. That's who's going to play.
I respect that.
I respect it also, but it's wrong. I think McCown was the hot hand.
But right, but look, Jay Cutler did not have a bad day.
No, he didn't.
And is Josh McCown going to have the same kind of day? You don't know.
I think the team plays differently with McCown than it does with Cutler. They're a little bit more loosey-goosey with McCown. They make things happen more. Maybe they don't trust his arm as much as they trust Cutler's arm. Okay, when my grandfather was alive, and one of his best friends was Sam Ratigliano, former head coach of the Browns.
Okay,
he at one time was the program director at Liberty. Okay, after he left the Browns. And he calls my grandfather up and says, "You have to see this kid from Vanderbilt. He's throwing 80 yards on the fly in the wind." It was Jay Cutler.
Okay.
He projected him then to be a big-time guy. Now, is he a big-time guy in a lot of eyes? I think he's a top 15 quarterback. 15.
Right.
In the lower half of the 15. The all 10 right. to 15 Obviously, range. Yeah. Yeah, he's not a number one. He just signed a 7-year deal. Mm. He wants to stay in Chicago. He wants to stay married to Tressman. That's great. I think it's a mistake. However, getting long in the tooth here, I think... they would have been better off riding the hot hand. Look at what San Francisco did last year when Alex Smith could have come back and they just said, no, we're going to stay with Kaepernick, even though Harbaugh wanted that anyway.
Right, and that's exactly it.
Right.
And the Bears didn't want anybody but Cutler starting
right.
for him.
So. And fair enough. Listen, the Cutler-Brandon Marshall relationship is fantastic. It was fantastic in Denver, and it translates over here. Rushing stats for Green Bay, James Starks, 11 attempts, 88 yards. Eddie Lacy, the banged-up Eddie Lacy, 21 attempts, 66 yards and a touch, but he had some hard running yards, and he's the one that was pushing that final drive. Matt Forte, 22 attempts, 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. Michael Bush, 2 attempts for 11 yards. Jordy Nelson, receiving stats, 10 grabs, 161 yards. Thank God his quarterback is back.
Because
when Matt Flynn was there, there was nothing going on.
No, not at all.
James Jones, 6 catches, 41 yards. Randall Cobb, 2 catches, 55 yards, 2 touchdowns.
It's the way to make him count.
Exactly. And Randall Cobb is the one who caught the pass at the end of the game. If anybody gets a chance, go
and
on...
And that was a 48-yard catch, by the way.
Yes.
So...
if anybody gets a chance to go on YouTube and put in Randall Cobb Tecmo Bowl. Randall Cobb Tecmo Bowl. Remember Tecmo Bowl from Nintendo?
Of course I do.
Someone modded Tecmo Bowl and put all the new guys in now. And they reenacted the pass from Aaron Rodgers to Randall Cobb. It's fantastic. And they actually piped in the Buck and Aikman play-by-play over it.
That's fantastic.
It really is. It's fantastic. Anyway, as Will is looking it up, Andrew Qualls, 2 catches, 31 yards. Flipping over to Chicago, here's where I have the issue with things. Brandon Marshall, 6 catches, 74 yards and a touch. Matt Forte, 4 for 47 and a touch. Alshon Jeffrey, 3 catches, 80 yards. If McCown is in, here it is. Yeah, play.
Blitz. Rodgers gets out. Floats it. Cobb. Touchdown. Cobb.
It's so perfect.
There's something about watching that in 16-bit graphics. Just putting it out there. That's fantastic.
If you can you throw that up on the Facebook page?
I'm going to throw it up on the Facebook page.
The cheesy 8-bit.
That just made it for me. That just absolutely made it for me. That's fantastic.
It's such a good clip, man. It really is. But here's the thing. Alshon Jeffrey, if McCown's in, Alshon Jeffrey gets targeted close to 15 times a game. With Cutler in, he gets targeted about 7 times a game. And I think that's the issue that I'm having. I like Alshon Jeffrey's upside as a potential top 10 wide receiver. Brandon Marshall's there. He's a top 5. You need to be able to sprinkle Alshon Jeffrey in there just a little bit more, Jay Cutler. That would really help.
Absolutely.
Okay? Don't worry about Matt Forte out of the backfield so much. You have the offensive wide receivers for the Chicago Bears read like the Chicago Bulls front line. starting five. They're all over 6'6". They're all over 250 pounds. Martellus Bennett is 6'8".
Guy's huge.
Just let him body. Just throw it up there. Let him do it. Hell, Detroit does it. Detroit's effective until Matthew Stafford throws the ball. Anywho.
He's the guy that always throws the ball, though.
Going over to New England, a rain-soaked Foxborough. New England wins this game over the Buffalo Bills, 34-20, locking up the second seed in the first round bye. Thaddeus Lewis, 16 of 29, 247 yards and a touchdown. Tom Brady, 14 of 24, 122 yards and a touch. Amazing. And an interception. He really didn't have to do too much. C.J. Spiller, 19 attempts, 105 yards, no touchdowns. Freddie Jackson, 14 attempts, 60 yards and a touch. And, again, New England, a team that does it with all hands on deck style. LeGarrette Blount. Yeah, that's right. LeGarrette Blount, 24 attempts, 189 yards, two touchdowns, including a kick return touchdown. He had three touchdowns in this game.
He was a beast all day that day.
If he can run in the rain, if it's raining out, give the ball to LeGarrette. He just puts his head down and just barrels through. Stevon Ridley, 12 attempts, 74 yards. Going over to passing, C.J. Spiller, what sticks in your craw, as they like to say, is when a quarterback leads the team in rushing. I hate when a running back leads the team in receptions. C.J. Spiller, 5 receptions, 28 yards. T.J. Graham, 3 catches for 62 yards and a touch. Scott Chandler and Freddie Jackson both had 3 receptions in this game for 55 and 53 yards, respectively. Julian Edelman, 9 catches, 65 yards. Shane Vereen, 3 catches, 42 yards and a touch. And Danny Amendola and Aaron Dobson both had a catch for New England. Moving right along, Seattle. Seattle wins this game over the St. Louis Rams, 27-9.
You really want to count that as a win or an annihilation?
A win.
All right.
Okay, I'll take it as a win. Seattle looked a little meh in this game, but they really didn't have to be that great. Kellen Clemens, 21 of 30, 157 yards, a touch and 2 picks. Russell Wilson, 15 of 23 for 172 yards and a touch. Zach Stacy, 15 attempts, 15 yards. Marshawn Lynch, 23 attempts, 97 yards and a touch. And looking at the receiving stats, Lance Kendricks, 5 catches, 54 yards. Jared Cook, 5 catches for 30 yards and a touch. And going over to Seattle, I don't know how the hell they do this every week. Golden Tate, 8 catches, 129 yards and a touch. Everybody else not worth mentioning. Moving over to San Diego, KC. San Diego at this point knows they need to win to get in. San Diego wins this game. Amid controversy, 27-24 in overtime. The controversy in this game is that they were lined up with too many men on one side of the ball for Kansas City's last field goal attempt to win this game. The referees didn't catch it. And they go to overtime. San Diego wins this game. And the flip side, actually Pittsburgh was guilty of this earlier in the season.
Exactly. And again, it wasn't called.
Exactly.
So officiating this year needs to be addressed because there were a lot of issues, mainly with Jeff Triplett's crew.
Yes.
They had the most controversy this year. They had about 3 real big controversial no-calls during the season. So officiating is going to be addressed. And at this point, Jeff Triplett's crew has been under the microscope for a couple of seasons now, so I think it's... I think they're going to want to get them broken up.
Yeah, they may be pushing the dynamite button on them and just exploding them.
Yeah.
Put them with other guys. In this game, Kansas City sat all of their starters. Chase Daniel was the starting quarterback for KC. He was 21 of 30 for 200 yards and a touch. Chase Daniel was, out of Missouri, was Drew Brees' backup last year in New Orleans. Phillip Rivers was 22 of 33 for 229 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception. Nile Davis was in for Jamaal Charles. 27 attempts, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ryan Matthews, another great game, great season for him. 24 attempts, 144 yards. The receiving stats read as follows. Dexter McCluster, 6 catches for 62 yards and a touch. Junior Hemingway, 5 catches, 45 yards.
Any relation?
No.
All right.
A little different. A.J. Jenkins, 3 catches, 67 yards. Danny Woodhead, again, sticks in my craw. 7 catches, 42 yards. Keenan Allen, offensive rookie of the year, hands down. 5 catches, 89 yards. Antonio Gates, 4 catches, 31 yards and a touch. I'm going to leave everything else alone. Eddie Royal and Ladarius Green both had a touchdown as well. Moving over to... So San Diego wins. San Diego's in the playoffs. They back in as the 6th seed. They're going to play Cincinnati today in Cincinnati. Going over to San Francisco and Arizona. This game, once
last second heroics.
Exactly. And once Seattle won their game, that locked San Francisco out of if Seattle would have lost and San Francisco would have won,
they would have flip-flopped.
They would have flip-flopped, and Seattle would have went from being home field throughout to the 6th seed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 5th seed.
Right.
Excuse me. That doesn't happen. San Francisco wins this game, like Will said, last second heroics, 23-20.
Phil Dawson with literally a last second field goal. He was credited with the field goal at 15 minutes.
That's awesome. Awesome. Great game. Another great game from start to finish. In the beginning, though, actually, it looked like San Francisco was going to run away with this game at 17-0. Right before the half, Carson Palmer throws a touchdown pass. Colin Kaepernick.
Jake Ballard.
Yes, exactly. Colin Kaepernick, 21 of 34, 310 yards and 2 touchdowns. Good for you, Colin, finally. Carson Palmer, who had a great season for Arizona, 28 of 49, 407 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick.
He came out of nowhere.
Yeah, man. Good for
Absolutely
him.
Absolutely came out of nowhere.
Good for him. Rushing stats were non-existent for San Francisco as the three highest guys, Quentin Patton, 1 attempt for 26 yards, Colin Kaepernick, 4 attempts for 24 yards, and Frank Gore, 13 attempts for 14 yards.
It's not like Frank Gore at all.
No. Arizona's run defense is stout. Going over to Arizona's rushing stats, we have Rashad Mendenhall, 10 attempts for 47 yards, and Andre Ellington, 9 attempts for 30 yards. Receiving stats were as follows. Anquan Boldin, 9 catches, 149 yards and a touch. First time he played his old team in Arizona since leaving and going to Baltimore and now coming to San Francisco. Vernon Davis, 3 catches, 45 yards and a touch. Michael Crabtree, 3 catches and 20 for 29 yards. Over to Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald, 6 catches, 113 yards. Michael Floyd, 6 catches for 91 yards. Robert Hausler, 5 catches for 78 yards. The aforementioned Jake Ballard, 1 catch, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. Good for you.
All that matters.
Exactly. Denver and Oakland. This game didn't have, well, it had enough. If Denver won the game, they locked up home field throughout the playoffs. What was more important in this game was Peyton Manning trying to break the single season yard record now held by Drew Brees.
Beat it by a yard.
Amid controversy, beat it by the yard. Denver wins this game. It was 31-0 at the half, and Peyton Manning
It was 34-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to be nice about things. Peyton Manning bows out after the first half, says, I'm done, guys, thanks. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Peyton goes 25 of 28, 266 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, with a QB pass rating of 145.8. Brock Osweiler goes 9 of 13 for 85 yards. Osweiler's got the cushiest job in the world now. He gets to learn from Peyton Manning. Terrell Pryor, 21 of 38, 207 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Brock Osweiler better do exactly that, learn from Peyton Manning.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do what Curtis Painter did. You know the DirecTV commercial? Don't end up in a roadside ditch. Don't do what Curtis Painter did. Monte Ball, rushing stats, 10 attempts, 72 yards. Ronnie Hillman, 12 attempts for 30 yards for the Oakland Raiders. Terrell Pryor, 9 attempts, 49 yards. Rashad Jennings and Darren McFadden combined for 11 attempts and 15 yards. Receiving stats, Demaryius Thomas, 6 catches for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's a man among boys. Noshon Moreno, 5 catches, 41 yards and a touch.
There are no boys on this Denver team right now.
Well, Oakland they Raiders. The Oakland Raiders. He's a man among the boys of the secondary of the Oakland Raiders.
This Denver team is for real.
Yeah, F-O apostrophe, R-E-A-L. Julius Thomas, 5 catches, 36 yards. Eric Decker, 4 catches, 27 yards and a touch. Heading over to Oakland. Rod Streeter, 5 catches, 40 yards and a touchdown. And the only other one worth mentioning is Nick Casa. 1 catch, 9 yards, 1 touchdown. So, Denver gets the first seed. They have home field throughout the playoffs, as does Seattle. They have the quote-unquote easiest road to the Super Bowl. Now, the last game of the night.
This was a great game.
It really was. It really was. This and the Green Bay-Chicago game were two best games of the day. This was to see who would win the NFC East. Loser goes home. The Philadelphia Eagles travel to Dallas without Tony Romo. Kyle Orton played. Doesn't matter who is in that helmet in December. Dallas just chokes.
Yeah.
24-22, Philadelphia Eagles win this game. Thank God. If there's one team I hate almost as much as New England, it's Dallas. I don't know why.
I'm an NFC East guy, so you know why I hate Dallas. Yeah. I hate Dallas more than I hate Philadelphia, so I was happy to see Philadelphia win this game. I thought they were going to win this game. Now I just want to see Philadelphia lose.
Well,
That's
you're welcome. Anyway, Nick Foles, 17 of 26, 263 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Nick Foles this year mentioned in the same breath in the top 4 as Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady for QB passer rating this year.
In the time Nick Foles has been a starter.
Unreal.
27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
He has been money
yeah.
as a starter.
Yeah. Kyle Orton taking over for the aforementioned Tony Romo, 30 of 46, 358 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. That last one of those 2 picks, super costly as it came on the last drive of the game. LeSean McCoy, 27 attempts, 131 yards. DeMarco Murray, 17 attempts for 51 yards. Going over to the receiving stats, Brent Celek, 3 catches, 71 yards and a touch. Jason Avant, Zach Ertz, Riley Cooper, and DeSean Jackson all had 3 receptions each also. Way to spread the ball around by Nick Foles. No one else, though, was over 50 yards except for Brent Celek. Jason Witten had himself a game, and the reason why I personally, if I had to pick between him and Tony Gonzalez, I'm taking Jason Witten. 12 receptions, 135 yards. Dez Bryant, 8 catches, 99 yards and a touch. DeMarco Murray, 5 catches for 39 yards. And Philadelphia makes the playoffs. So we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the way the brackets look. We'll get into yesterday's games. Really quick, pros versus Joe from last week before we break. Will and myself both went 5-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Joey Paducah.
What was Padukey. Me?
Padukey, excuse me.
Padukey, the big Padukey.
Yeah, he laid a Padukey. 1-4. So when we get back, I'll give the stats going into the playoffs. The playoffs, we pick every game. This is Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in the More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Tuesday nights on More Like Radio, it's the show about beer that apparently everybody is talking about.
He has his own show.
No, he doesn't.
He has a podcast.
What, prove it?
Alcohol by Volume.
He talks about beer. How hard is that?
Alcohol by Volume.
He talks about beer. How hard is that?
Because it's a show on our network.
Alcohol by Volume.
No.
Who does the show?
Atticus.
Who? Atticus, why does that sound
Because he's the guy that syncs up our audio when we screw it up.
Kevin.
Come on, bro.
Great at video, horrible at everything else in his life.
Well, yeah, because Atticus was a fan, and then he became a staff person, and then he became a show host. Very integrated with us. I mean, he has a More Like Radio t-shirt.
He sounds great. We should get him to host a show.
He does
on
have
the station.
He does have a show. It's called Alcohol by Volume.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesday nights, 6 to 8 p.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Damn it, can't a guy masturbate in this house?
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have a tyrant's chance of being successful on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
Are you a fan of comics? What about obscure movies and TV shows? Well then, you are in luck, because every Friday, Nerd Hour is here to talk about those completely and utterly awesome things. So join Punchy, Ariel, and now Cornax as we talk the things that people claim prevent you from getting laid, but are amazeballs anyway. The Nerd Hour, every Friday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., only on More Like Radio. Spoon!
Warning, listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and no balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. Oh, wait, sorry, I forgot, morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. No rules, just radio. Two slug lines in there, see that?
There you go.
I'm like a professional and stuff. All right, so...
I like slug lines.
All right, so we are now going to get into the playoffs and... quite possibly the wildest day of playoffs that I'm going to go out on a limb and say it I've ever seen.
Yeah, if this is any inclination of what the playoffs are going to be for the rest of this year, Espo and Will are happy guys. I'm going to give everybody the playoff breakdown. So in the AFC, we had Denver as the one, New England as the two, Cincinnati is the three for winning the Central. For the North. The... four seed is Indianapolis for winning the South. The two wild cards were the 11-5 Kansas City Chiefs and the 9-7 San Diego Chargers. Moving over to the NFC, we had Seattle as the one. Carolina Panthers grabbed the two seed. The three seed is, or was, the Philadelphia Eagles. The four seed is the Green Bay Packers. The five is San Francisco. And the six seed is the New Orleans Saints. So yesterday's games were the 4th place Indianapolis Colts against the 5th place Kansas City Chiefs, 3rd place Philadelphia Eagles, and the 6th place New Orleans Saints in the nightcap. Going to the first game of the night, which was Kansas City at Indianapolis.
Late game heroics.
Kansas City in this game was up 31-10 at the half.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I cannot believe they lost this game.
And they lost Jamaal Charles on their opening drive.
Yes. Indianapolis wins this game 45-44 on what could only be described as the second greatest comeback in NFL playoff history. In the fourth quarter, we had Andrew Luck on a fumble by Donald Brown, who has
never... That was insane.
Who has never lost a fumble in his career.
Still hasn't.
Exactly. Donald Brown tries to go up the middle. Ball's fumbled. It just instantly bounces to Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck, in his only Air Jordan foul line dunk mode possible that he could do, reaches over a sprawled out Kansas City Chiefs defense, puts the ball over into the end zone, makes the game 41-38.
I watched that highlight. I watched that play about seven different times last night because I was at a family Christmas party. Wasn't able to really watch the game. Got home, sat down, caught the end of the Philly game. Fantastic.
Yes.
And then I sat there and said, looked at my wife. She goes, oh, you want to watch something? I was like, yeah, I want to watch the highlights of the early game because it was fantastic.
Yeah, it really was. It just.
I watched that, and Donald Brown, the ball got knocked out from the side. Shot over to the pile, bounced off another player's head, and essentially almost right into Andrew Luck's hands.
Yeah, like a magnet.
And he just kind of, he saw it. Grabbed it, just fell and stretched. Fantastic heads-up move by Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck's rushing ability is quite underrated, even though I think RG3 is better than Andrew Luck, but that's going to be debated from now until forever between the two of them. Andrew Luck is cementing himself right now in wins as the better quarterback.
He has the most comeback wins out of any quarterback in the last two seasons.
Yeah, good for him. Listen...
I think he has 11. It's something ridiculous.
He's making Chuck Pagano look really, really good. Yeah. Even when Pagano was sick last year, and it's nice to see him healthy, and he's a good coach's he's a good player's coach.
Absolutely.
He's a man among men. He's a good guy. So that the play by Andrew Luck made it 41-38 Kansas City. Ryan Succop kicks a field goal, makes it 44-38. It was a 43-yarder. And with about 4 minutes left in the game, a 64-yard pass to T.Y. Hilton. How you do not cover the only legitimate receiving threat on this team is beyond me.
And you know what? It was. Did you see the play?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was beautiful. He hit him in stride. T.Y. Hilton did not have to break stride. It just fell right into his hands perfectly. He blew his coverage. His coverage was about 5 yards behind him. And it was just T.Y. all the way.
The score of this game is what I thought the score of the New Orleans-Philly game was going to be. They actually flip-flop scores.
Yeah, I would have completely agreed with that.
There was such great passing in this game. Alex Smith, not to be pushed under the rug. I'm going to go to the passing stats now.
He had
Alex,
a day.
30 of 46, 378 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Okay? Andrew Luck, 29 of 45, 443, 4 touchdowns, 3 picks. You throw 3 interceptions and you still win the game?
Yeah.
That's the offense not capitalizing as much as they could for Kansas City on the Indianapolis turnovers. Honestly speaking.
And it's... the 3 interceptions, I think, happened in the first half of the game. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, it's your defense doing everything they can in that first half, which it shows in the score.
Right.
And then the second half, the defense just wasn't there.
Yeah. In this game, like Will had said earlier, Jamal Charles goes out with an injury. Nyle Davis, who was the backup running back, goes out with an injury. So, Cyrus Gray, their third-string running back, is in your wild card game. Yeah,
Never do it.
Being
quiet about it.
Don't worry about it. We're a good show. Anyway, so 63,551 people saw the second greatest comeback in NFL history. I just can't get over this game. And I had the Chiefs pegged to walk all over Indy in this game.
So did I.
Really did. Who was the lone wolf in this game?
Joe.
Joe picks the Indianapolis Colts in this game.
How did I do it? I don't know.
So Nyle Davis has 18 attempts for 67 yards and a
touchdown.
Hold
on a second. I'll go back to my messages. I'll tell you how you figured it out.
Yeah, seriously. Because everybody knows this.
Everyone knows.
Well, in Joe's defense, he did think the Colts were from Texas.
That's right.
So,
well, they used to be, right?
Yes, they were the Dallas Texans. Like I said, when Al Davis was lucid.
Yes.
And alive.
They had horses and everything. I remember they used to wear cowboy jackets.
Alex Smith, 8 attempts, 57 yards. Jamal Charles, 3 rushes for 18 yards in that unfortunate concussion. Cyrus Gray comes in and goes 2 rushes for 5 yards. Donald Brown, 11 rushes for 55 yards and a touch. Andrew Luck, 7 rushes, 45 yards, a fumble recovery touchdown, which they don't give him credit for. And Trent Richardson, 1 attempt, 0 yards. Bust.
Done.
Bust, bust, bust. He's not going to be there next year.
I don't think he's going to be anywhere next year.
So he'll catch on with somebody.
I don't know.
He'll catch on with someone. Dwayne Bowe has the game of the season for himself. 8 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown. Dexter McCluster, 7 for 52. Nyle Davis also had 7 grabs to go along with his 18 rushing attempts, 33 yards and a touchdown. Donnie Avery, you want to talk about catches in stride. Donnie Avery, 1 catch, 79 yards and a touch.
That was
great
pass. Great one, yeah.
Going over to Indy. T.Y. Hilton, 13 catches, 224 yards, 2 touchdowns. Someone put a body on that man.
I think that was the third highest yardage ever in a playoff game?
Seriously. You're 100% right. Kobe Fleener, 5 catches, 46 yards and a touch. Donald Brown, 4 catches, 47 yards and a touch. LaVon Brazil also added 4 catches and 54 yards. Griff Whalen, playing a mean base.
Nice.
2 catches for 26 yards.
Boom, boom, boom.
So
now, I believe it was a pass to Donnie Avery on the last drive for the Chiefs. The Chiefs were with that 4th and 11,
mm-hmm.
less than 2 minutes, a little bit more than 2 minutes left. Now, I was trying to track this game on my phone, and I was hanging out with one of our super fans, Tracy, my cousin.
Oh, sweet.
And her and I are going back and forth on my Tracy. I was like, you see this score? She's like, yeah. So this isn't good. Chiefs were just blowing them out. I was like, this isn't a good thing. She's like, no. Then all of a sudden, the second half starts. And we're checking every 10 minutes or so. I'm like, you see this? You see this? She's like, Will. I'm like, what? She goes, it's 44-38. I'm like, no way. I'm like, you know what? I really wish, because, it's a family Christmas party. Not everybody's watching the game. And, we got a bunch of kids, so it's...
You can't put it on in the background as much as you want to.
Right. So you're stuck with watching it on your phone. And we were just going nuts. And she looks at it and she's like, it's 4th and 11. It's like 2:38 left. She goes, oh, no, it's not 4th and 11 anymore. I was like, what is it? She goes, 1st and 10 for Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, right.
I went and I caught the highlight, and that was a tough, tough catch for Donnie Avery.
Yeah.
He caught it along the sidelines, had no room to tightrope it, just had had to step out of bounds. And if he's...
I was Dwayne Bowe.
Dwayne Bowe, I'm sorry. Yes, it was Dwayne Bowe. If he was 2 or 3 yards further infield, great catch, and quite possibly wins the game for Kansas City.
Absolutely. And the cornerback, his name escapes me, for Indianapolis, did a perfect job knowing exactly what was going to happen. They knew they were going to have one-on-one man coverage on him. He does the right thing by forcing him more to the outside, meaning pushing him to the sideline.
Absolutely.
Dwayne Bowe almost steps out of bounds at one point and comes back in. Now, if he steps out of bounds and comes back in, he can't touch that ball at all.
He can't be the first to touch it.
He'd be the first to touch it. All in all, there was no defense in this game at all. After the first half, the floodgates opened for both teams.
Right.
If I get this for the Super Bowl, hey, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, Indianapolis moves on. They go to, they have to actually wait now because they were the four seed. If Cincinnati wins today, Cincinnati goes to New England, and Indianapolis, Andrew Luck goes to Denver to play Peyton in Peyton's home. Fantastic storyline where Indianapolis played at home against Denver this year and handed Denver their first loss of the season.
That's right.
Pigskin prophecy. If San Diego wins, San Diego goes to Denver and Denver laughs and kicks him in the junk and moves on. Anyway, ooh, going to the NFC, the New Orleans Saints play the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought for sure this was going to be the Philadelphia wrecking crew that I was going to see. New Orleans, 8-0 at home, 3-5 on the road.
Have never won a road playoff game either.
Under Sean Payton. With Drew Brees as quarterback. 100% correct. New Orleans wins this game 26-24.
Again, literally, last second heroics. Shane Graham, who was not on the team until week 15.
Yeah.
Week 15.
They dropped Garrett Hartley because of his field goal troubles, and they brought up Shane Graham.
And Shane Graham, who is atrocious in the postseason when it comes to kicking. Guy's been on 9 different teams over his, I think, 13-year career.
I'm actually going to pull up what teams he's been on.
There was a laundry list. They were reciting it last night, and I was just like, yeah, look at that.
If you go to profootballreference.com, it actually gives you the jersey that he's worn. There's a lot.
Let's see. Buffalo, Carolina, Cincinnati for a long stint.
New England,
the Giants, Miami, Baltimore, Houston, New Orleans, Pittsburgh. And he was on Pittsburgh earlier this year.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Yeah, he's been on every team.
Since 2001, he's now have 12 years in the league, and he's been on 9 different teams. So, and he had a stretch of, what is that, 6-7 years with Cincinnati?
Yeah.
So...
From 2003 to 2009, he was on Cincinnati. That just goes to show you're a kicker. You could be 50 years old and still play and still be able to
Morton Anderson proved that.
Exactly. So in this game, last second heroics, literally at the 15-minute mark of the fourth quarter, with 1 second left, Shane Graham kicks the game-winning field goal.
That last drive I just want to get into. First off, the drive before that, the New England offensive drive. The Philly offensive drive. A pass interference penalty kept that drive going.
Which was pass interference.
You sure about that?
Which one are you talking about? Because there was two.
The one down near the goal line.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, fine. There was one earlier in the drive that was
I missed that one.
Yes.
This one was blatantly obvious.
It was a mugging.
Yeah, absolute mugging. Sets Philly up for the touchdown. Philly takes the lead. On the ensuing kickoff, Darren Sproles running back, having a good run all of a sudden gets horse collar tackled. An extra 15 yards added on.
Brought him to midfield.
Yeah. And again, there are certain quarterbacks you don't want to give opportunity to.
Right.
Okay? Drew Brees is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my point here is two stupid penalties set up two big scores.
Right. 100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. So.
Maybe.
26-24, going to the passing stats. Drew Brees, 20 of 30, 250 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. Very pedestrian day for Drew Brees. This game was 7-6 at the half. Like I said, the score of this game is what I thought the KC-Indianapolis game was.
Well, Drew Brees didn't even have 100 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
And had two interceptions.
Yeah. And that just goes to show you that Philly just couldn't capitalize. Philly could have put this game out quick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But for some reason, they just couldn't do it. Drew Brees, again, just didn't have a good day.
Exactly.
Well, the first half, anyway.
Exactly. Nick Foles, 23 of 33, 195 yards, two touchdowns. Still, again, no picks. Another good, solid game from Nick Foles. I would have liked to see him be a little bit more selective in the way he was passing. I think he gets a little too throwaway happy. I'd like to see him try to do a little bit more. But again, that's why he doesn't throw interceptions, because
exactly.
He just throws the ball away.
Exactly. So you have to wonder if it's really just good decision-making or not taking enough risk.
Exactly. Mark Ingram, 18 attempts, 97 yards and a touch. Great game from Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Pierre Thomas was out in this game, like I had said earlier. Kyrie Robinson, 8 attempts, 45 yards.
And he was the main man behind that last drive to set New Orleans up.
Yes. It was a Kyrie Robinson drive. I remember when they used to say for the Giants, it's a Mark Ingram drive.
Yeah.
It's a Kyrie Robinson drive.
Kyrie Robinson, he seemed to get like 5 or 6 yards on every carry on that last drive.
Yeah, and he actually finished the day averaging 5.6 on his 8 attempts. Darren Sproles, 4 attempts for 29 yards. Nothing else there. LeSean McCoy was the lone feature back for Philly. I think that's what their downfall was. As good as LeSean McCoy, Shady was all season, who he actually won the rushing title this year. I would have liked to see them sprinkle in a little bit more Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown is their change of pace back. But in this instance, LeSean McCoy, 21 attempts, 77 yards and a touch. That's way below average for him. And this is the problem that you have with a feast or famine offense. Either they're going to have huge days and you're going to blow a team out of the water, or you're just not going to survive.
Right.
And Philly showed that in spades in this game. Going to the receiving stats for the Saints, Darren Sproles, 4 catches, 31 yards. Jimmy Graham, 3 catches for 44 yards, really held on the wraps. Kenny Stills, 3 for 35. The only touchdown was Lance Moore, 2 grabs, 31 yards, a 24-yard touchdown. Kerry Williams had a fantastic game yet again for Philly, locking down their big guy. Marcus Colston, only 2 catches for 16 yards. Big game. Big, big game for Kerry Williams. Going to Philadelphia, Riley Cooper, our favorite N-bomb bandit. 6 catches, 68 yards and a touch. Jason Avant, 5 for 21. LeSean McCoy, 4 for 15. DeSean Jackson, another quiet game. What was his name? Keenan Thomas?
I believe so.
Okay. Before he went out of the game with a concussion, but they wound up bringing him back in the game eventually. He only had 3 receptions for 53 yards. And Zach Ertz had the other touchdown. 3 grabs, 22 yards and a touch.
He had that go-ahead touchdown at the, what was it?
The 10-minute mark. 10-minute
mark of the fourth, yeah.
Absolutely. So, with this win, New Orleans, the 6th seed, now must go back to Seattle, where they played earlier this year in a Monday night game and got left off the field.
34-7.
Okay. I think New Orleans' run comes to an end right now. Philly is a one and done. The winner of today's Green Bay-San Francisco game goes to Carolina to play the Panthers next week.
And that Green Bay-San Francisco game is going to be brutal.
Yes.
I was looking at the weather report last night for it. It is going to be -1 in Green Bay today.
At game time. -1 at game time. Wind chill temperatures down to -30.
Yay.
And San Francisco went on record as saying long sleeves are a game time decision.
You know, it goes to the whole psychological aspect of the game. You know, and it's always been, it was always the linemen that did it. You know, receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, they always wore the long sleeves, stay warm. And it was always who's tougher, which line was tougher, you know? If you were out there wearing long sleeves, you were a punk.
Yeah.
You know? the guys out there, like, you know, Green Bay would be out there, their defensive line, no sleeves, looking all tough.
No jacket on the sidelines.
San Francisco would be sitting there going, oh, I'm cold. And yeah. it was a psychological warfare thing. Now it's a different perspective, and now it's both teams try to go out there in no sleeves and contract pneumonia.
Exactly. Well, going into yesterday, the pros versus Joe standings were as follows. Will is in first place at 51-29. I am in second at 49-31. And Joe is in third at 41-39.
Oh, God.
So he was there for a little while.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's what happens when you go 1-4.
I'm almost 50%.
Sure. You're over 50%, which is...
Of 41-39.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
You're doing better than expected, and I'm happy for that.
Well, like, if I was actually betting money, I'd be ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd be in the green. Well, going into yesterday, like I said, those are the stats. Now, yesterday, what did we do? I know I went 0-2. Because I wound up taking Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Yes, you took Kansas City and Philadelphia. Joe, I took Kansas City and the Saints. Joe took the Colts and the Saints. So Joe goes 2-0.
Joe goes 2-0. So yes. Joe goes to 43.
And 39.
I'm a very special
man. 39.
You and I each go 1-1.
Yeah. So you go to 52-30. And I am at 49-33. I went 0-2 yesterday.
Oh, that's 0-2. That's right. You
So you have a 3-game lead on me. So we're going into today's games. The first game of the day is the Cincinnati Bengals home against the San Diego Chargers. I don't have the lineup in front of me yet. I'm going to pull it up now as I'm picking Cincinnati regardless of the line. What do you got?
All right. Let's see. We're looking at... Cincinnati's pretty good. You know what? It's got to be Cincinnati. Rivers has had a good season. It's going to be cold in Green Bay. It's going to be snowing. Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by seven. I want to pick Cincinnati straight up, but I would pick San Diego with the spread.
Okay. I'm taking Cincinnati regardless. You have Cincinnati for the pros versus Joe game. Joe, who do you got? We got the Cincinnati Bengals home against the San Diego Chargers.
Well, I kind of like the San Diego Chargers because you guys took Cincinnati. No, I have to catch up. So you have to take.
So he's going
to
do it by trying to go rogue.
Well,
nice.
Yes, it's sort of like you know, Jeopardy. You have to make it a true daily double in order to win. You know, double or nothing. So I will take Cincinnati.
All right.
You're taking Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we all took Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought Joe took the charge. Yeah, all right.
No, so. Joe confused everybody.
Yes, well, he does it every week.
All right.
I don't know where I am.
You're not at the home anymore, Joe. You're not at the home.
I know.
All right.
What do you think about this game? What to you stands out to be the major factor in this game? If San Diego's going to win, what do they have to do?
First off, they got to brave the cold. They got to stay warm. This is going to be a running game. Okay? If it is actually snowing in Cincinnati when this happens, it's going to be a straight-up running game. And Cincinnati's got the better running game overall. They got Giovanni Bernard. They got Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis. Both of those guys... Those guys can each get 100 yards in this game.
Kickoff for that game is in an hour and 40 minutes.
Yay. The biggest offensive weapon for the Chargers is Keenan Allen.
Yeah, hands down. Okay.
I mean, and Keenan Allen, like we said, very close race for Rookie of the Year. Okay. He can do it. I just think Philip Rivers' arms falls off if he tries to throw the ball too often.
Right.
And, you know, they do tend to rely on him a lot to throw the ball because of their lackluster running game. So, yeah, if it's a straight-up running game, you got to give the edge to Cincinnati. Just better options.
Yeah. Looking at this game, if Andy Dalton doesn't throw as many picks as he has been throwing, I think Cincinnati wins this game in a laugher. San Diego does have a good way of capitalizing on teams' mistakes. Philip Rivers has had statistically, and I don't have the stats in front of me, I'm sorry, but statistically one of the greatest seasons of his career. Not of all time, just of his career. Ryan Matthews had a great season. The defense showed up that they didn't even know if they were going to have a defense this year. A lot of teams picked them to finish dead last in that division. I'm looking at the Vontaze Burfict, Antonio Gates matchup, linebacker tight end. That's going to be key in this game. If Antonio Gates can body Burfict, which I don't think is going to happen. Burfict is a Pro Bowler. He's the captain of that defense with Geno Atkins out. Things could go real bad real fast for Cincinnati.
All right. I got your Philip Rivers stats.
Thank you, sir.
All right. This season, full 16 games. He's played a full 16 games every year since 2006. 4,478 yards, 32 touchdowns. 2010 was his biggest yardage season, 4,710, so he's not far off.
Right.
2008, he had 34 touchdowns. He's definitely improved over the last few years.
Has his touchdown-to-turnover ratio this year?
Touchdown-to-turnover ratio, let me find
how many,
that.
How many interceptions did he throw this year?
I'm looking at it. 11. 11 interceptions this year. Down 4 from last year, where he had 15. In 2011, he had 20, so not bad.
He's on he's on a steady increase as far as the lack of touchdown interceptions, which is a plus.
A steady decrease in interceptions. So
right.
That's so throwing an interception 2% out of all his passes. And QB rating this season of 105.5, which ties with his season with his career high in 2008 of 105.5.
So all in all, he's had a great season. He has found
probably his best best complete season.
Absolutely, absolutely, and he's found weapons, especially in Keenan Allen, who he didn't know he was even going to have. You had guys in the beginning.
Number
of
five on the depth chart at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely, he made something out of nothing, and I'm happy to see Philip Rivers have such a good season, and especially since he's taken so much crap for so long. Nobody wanted him. In the beginning, and then San Diego invested in him by making the trade fit with the Eli Manning, and on top of that, letting Drew Brees walk, and giving Philip Rivers the chance.
Yeah,
he finally had a healthy running game, and it translated into a playoff opportunity.
And I got to be honest with you too. I'm looking at his career stats. He's constantly around 4,000 yards from 2008. 2013, his passing yards 4,009, 4,254, 4,710, 4,624, 3,606, 4,478. So he's always right around there, and he's always right around 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a quiet set of touchdowns, because if you look at, you know, he's in Peyton Manning's division now. You know what I'm saying? Like, San Diego's never a team that's going to grab the spotlight. But so what we're going to do is, we're looking also at Giovanni Bernard and Keenan Allen, quite possibly the top two in the Offensive Rookie of the Year category in this game as well. A lot of good instances. I have this game 27-10 Cincinnati.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's defense comes to play today.
All right.
Moving right along.
To the 4:30 game.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Nobody says it like John Fasano.
No, they don't. But you know what? I'm just putting it out there.
No.
San Francisco on the road. 3-point favorites against Green Bay. If I'm going spread, I'm taking Green Bay. In this game, though, I'm taking San Francisco.
I'm going Green Bay.
Cool.
Going Green Bay. It's going to be too cold. It's going to be too cold for San Francisco to survive.
The last time these two teams played in the playoffs. Actually, this is the fourth time they've played in the last two seasons. In the playoffs was Colin Kaepernick's coming out party, a big time, having close to 500 total yards of offense by himself. I think San Francisco has too many weapons. I don't like Green Bay's defense. Clay Matthews is hurt yet again. I understand Aaron Rodgers at home. I know it's going to be too cold. That's why you're taking Green Bay. I'm taking San Francisco for the fact of I just think they're a better team.
All right.
They're a better team. Joe?
Well, you know, guys, when I think about Green Bay...
He loves him. He's moving to Wisconsin.
I'm absolutely not going to use that word that I promised I would never use. That's my New Year's resolution. But they do wear lace panties. Everyone knows this.
Everyone.
So I cannot take Green Bay.
Staying in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, I had him penciled in for that from the get-go.
I know.
I just needed to hear it for sure.
Well, would you bet on a team that wears lace panties? And I understand they're pink, too.
Depends. Am I watching the Legends Football League? Because then, yes, I would bet on...
Well, there you go, yes.
Bet on them every time, Joe. Every time.
Yeah. So they're going to lose heartily today.
All right, we got San Francisco and at Green Bay, and that game is at 4:40 today. That's it for the Pros versus Joe and looking forward to today's segment. And take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to do a little bit of coaching carousel and round out the day. Tattoos and touchdowns. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's More Like Radio.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
First, there was Hippo Juice. Then Ham Radio.
Lust in Love. Daytime Divas.
And Live from the Morgue.
And now?
The Sully Show!
Join me, Sully,
JT,
Danielle, and Greg
every Sunday, noon to 2 on morelikeradio.com.
Not only did they sign us, they put us out in public.
Listen to Unsigned Hype every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on morelikeradio.com. It's hosted by Sir Darkseid, a.k.a. @DarksideRules on Twitter. Check out the show for dope interviews, exclusive releases from artists such as Brother Ali, Mally, Kelly Mays, Lex Leosis, MOA, and Aesop Rock. It doesn't get better than this. Every Tuesday night on morelikeradio.com is the Unsigned Hype.
Unsigned Hype. Frontline, never known flurry. Zero dark dirty. Zero friends, minotaur, fugly stepchild. Evoke lunch, jumped over plunging necklines. Up beside tongue tied, hungry enzymes. Devolved in a mothman, munching textiles. Punisher, outpast, go time.
Radio you have to atone for. MoreLikeRadio.com. Professional radio without the rules.
And we are back. Tattoos and touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday, all your NFL needs, 10 a.m. to noon. Oh, man. Well, Black Monday hit. The coaching carousel started, and it started kind of furiously.
I knew it was going to happen. We called a couple of them, and a couple of people in the chat room, especially Purple Jesus, was... very vocal in who was going to get got. And Leslie Frazier was gone. Mike Shanahan is gone. Jim Schwartz is gone.
Greg Schiano is gone. Schiano was gone from Tampa Bay. So, now what was a little surprising is how quickly Well, I mean, the Texans fired their head coach middle of the season.
Yeah, Kubiak was
gone. Kubiak was gone. Wade Phillips was the interim head coach, and then he was replaced this week by Bill O'Brien. A few hours before midnight, they made the announcement. Bill O'Brien is now the head coach of the Houston Texans, formerly of Penn State. Texans officially introduced O'Brien as the team's head coach on Friday. O'Brien coached two seasons at Penn State, was previously the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. There was also reports that Romeo Crennel had a good chance at the job. And Wade Phillips said there's a small chance he's going to stay. Bill O'Brien's already been cleaning out the coaching staff and making it his.
You kind of have to. You can't go in there with old parts.
No.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm not really sold on Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator to begin with. So, I mean, look what Houston did. He had a great Houston team, great defensive unit,
right?
And they underperformed for two seasons.
Speaking of the firing bandwagon, Rob Chudzinski, man, from the Browns. The Browns can't keep a head coach.
But you know what? He got a raw deal.
Absolutely.
He got a very raw deal. And I was actually angry at this firing.
I agree.
He was there for one season.
There's no one left in Cleveland. They gutted the whole front office.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Apparently there's only two prospects for the Browns, and that's the Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops and New England's offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels.
It's going to be Josh McDaniels because of the Rooney Rule. They have to interview one African American coach.
One minority, yeah.
Minority, yes. Bob Stoops is not leaving Oklahoma for that job. That's the worst career move you could ever make, is going from Oklahoma to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Mike Munchak was fired in Tennessee. Munchak had three seasons in Tennessee.
He was fired yesterday.
And his team never showed signs of real improvement. The management wasn't satisfied and cut ties with him yesterday, exactly, January 4th. Gary Kubiak was fired, like we talked about already, and Bill O'Brien has been hired. Going into the AFC West, the only person who's really in danger right now is Dennis Allen in Oakland. They don't know if he's going to get fired.
Well, he's only been there for 2 years now, right?
Yeah, I would like to see him stay one more season.
I think you kind of have to. I mean, don't get me wrong. Dude's on the hot seat next season, no question. Right. No question. His seat is on fire.
Already, yeah.
Okay. He's got to see what he can do, you know. Run DMC, not your running back.
No.
Got to move on. But this is the problem. You're going to keep Dennis Allen there for another season. You're still trying to get your pieces in place, and you got some of them there, but not enough to really kind of push him over the top.
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head with head coaches not getting enough time, like you said, with Chudzinski, easy for me to say.
Listen, guy got a raw deal. His starting quarterback went down. They traded away their star running back in Trent Richardson, who turned out to be a bust anyway with Indy.
Right.
You as the ownership